you, Lord. Man, did we have a good time this morning or what? Gene tells me we set a new record at Harvest Christian Assembly this morning, and however, numbers are not our goal. However, we do recognize that that numbers represent souls.
Amen.
Amen. And so while we don't get caught up in the numbers game, we do realize that those numbers represent souls and lives that are being changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We had 154 in church this morning. That is fantastic. Thank God for that. What a great, great Christmas present that is to Harvest Christian Assembly, and we're grateful for that. I believe that 2024, wow, 2024, who'd have thunk it, Tommy? 2020, what's that?
Oh, I was thinking big. I thought you said that's what our goal is, 2024.
Well, let's get this one built first before the Coliseum, okay? But I'm not afraid to believe God for 2024 souls. Amen. But let's just get one project completed at a time. Prayer is the vehicle that changes our circumstance. Prayer is the vehicle with which we communicate with God. Amen. How many of you have ever prayed? Thank you, Lord. How many of you realize that real prayer is difficult? Real prayer is difficult. And when Jesus prayed in the garden, he sweat great drops of blood. It was a difficult thing. If there is no burden in prayer, chances are there cannot be or will not be a blessing in your prayer. What is it that you're burdened for? Because whatever it is that you and I have a burden for, it is those things that we will intercede for, and we will press in to the things of God for. Amen. And so we've got to develop something of a burden. If there's no burden, there can be no blessing. And I shared this last time we were together, but to rephrase what John Jowett said about preaching, praying that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. Prayer that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. And another famous old-time preacher, E.M. Bounds, was in fact a prayer warrior in our last generation. And he would often rise early in the morning and pray for many hours before he began the work of the day. And many of his books on prayer testify to the fact that he, like Epaphras, knew how to agonize in prayer before God. We've lost the, I don't really want to use the word art, but we've lost the burden or the art of laboring and agonizing in prayer. We kind of think of prayer as the old, Brill Cream and Dippity Doo commercials. A little dab will do you. Well, a little dab won't do you in this instance. If we really want something, we've got to be, like Samuel's mom who cried out unto God. And tonight I know that we were supposed to end our Bible study on prayer like 2 weeks ago. But listen, it ain't going to end anytime soon. Because if there's anything that will move the church forward in 2024, it will be prayer. And we really won't be effective in prayer unless we really understand how to pray. Amen? And so we've got to begin to really pray. And I want you to turn to the Old Testament book, the very Old Testament book of Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32 and drop down to verse 22. And as long as my voice holds out, I'll keep going. All right? Genesis 32, starting in verse 22. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Are you there? Stand with me when you get there. Genesis chapter 22, or 32 rather, excuse me. Genesis 32. Thirty-two twenty-two. Settle down. Let him look in his Bible. Settle down, Skippy. Are you ready? And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And so he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." He said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank. Father, I need your help tonight. Vocally, Lord, I need your help, and I need your help. God, I need your anointing on me to preach and to teach your word. So I ask, Lord God, that you would not only touch me, but touch your congregation. Touch your people. Touch your learners, oh God, tonight. Your disciples, Father, that they would learn about prayer. That, God, we would be a people of prayer that would touch the heavens, Lord, that our city would be impacted because of the prayers of this congregation. Now I thank you for it. Give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. You may be seated. Whether we like it or not, or whether we know it or not, we are called by God to be persistent in prayer. To be persistent in prayer. In other words, not to just say quick little prayers and then turn and walk away, but to be persistent. And I illustrate persistence in this way. Some of you might understand this, but persistence, in my opinion, is like wrestling with a gorilla. You don't quit when you get tired. You quit when the gorilla gets tired, and you had better persist in the battle. Amen? You got to be persistent. And in this passage, Jacob refused to be denied in his prayer to God to bless him. He was persistent. He would not give up. He absolutely would not give up. How many of us have given up on our prayer life sometimes? I mean, we waited and I mean, like for 2 days and our prayer didn't get answered. And so we just give up. Nobody's raising their hand, but I know I've been frustrated sometimes in prayer, and I've given up sometimes in prayer. But we must refuse to be denied answers to our prayers that are in accordance with God's will. So there was a British, thank you, essayist named Walter Landor, and he called solitude the audience chamber of God, and he was right. Solitude is the audience chamber of God, and when we are alone, we can't escape into other people's hearts and other people's minds and be distracted. We have to live with ourselves and face ourselves. When you're with a bunch of other people, how many of you know you oftentimes are concerned with the other people? You're concerned about what they... I mean, if we're in a prayer meeting and we're praying as a group, whether you realize it or not, more often than not, we're conscientious about what my prayer might sound like to you. I was in last Sunday night, if you remember, we went to the UCC for this speech on this meeting about Israel. And of course, at the end, they called all the pastors to the front of the church. And so I went to the front of the church and I just tell on myself because I can. And they called us all up there and they wanted each one that felt led to pray however they felt led to pray. And so I just stood up there and I didn't pray. I mean, I prayed, but I didn't pray out loud. Because I tend to judge myself against everybody else that's up there. And I always cut myself short. And so I just stood there silently and just, I was praying under my breath, oh God, for Israel. Some way, somehow, church, we got to quit allowing the enemy to convince us that we're less than anything. Because when we know who we are in Christ, we recognize that we have authority, not in ourselves, but authority because... And I recognize that those men, most all of them up there, I mean, some of them talked about they've been in their church for X amount of years, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And they all this schooling and all this stuff, and I start thinking to myself, well, you dummy, you didn't even graduate high school. And so I begin to downplay myself, but I got to recognize in myself that it's not what I've accomplished, it's what He's accomplished in me. Amen. And we got to stand in that, church. And so we got to understand that when we get around a bunch of other people, we tend to escape into their hearts and their minds and become distracted. And we have to live with ourselves. When we're all by ourselves, we're uninhibited. When we're by ourselves, we can just let it all hang out. 20 years before, Jacob had met with the Lord when he was alone at Bethel, and now God graciously comes to him again in his hour of need. And God meets with you and I at whatever level he finds us in order to lift you and I up to where he wants us to be. How many of you realize that Abraham the pilgrim, God came as a traveler. And to Joshua the general, God came as a soldier. How many of you read that? In Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 through 15, it says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?' And so he said, 'No, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, 'What does my Lord say to his servant?' And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, 'Take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy.' And so Joshua did so." Isn't that amazing? That's a great passage. Jacob had spent most of his adult life wrestling with people. He wrestled with Esau and Isaac and Laban and even his wives. And so God came to him as a wrestler. And at Bethel, God had promised to bless Jacob. And from a material point of view, the promise was fulfilled because he was an extremely wealthy man. He lacked for nothing. I mean, he had all this stuff. But how many of you understand tonight that there's much more to the blessings of God than flocks and herds and servants? There's this matter of godly character and spiritual influence. Listen, I'd a lot rather have godly character and spiritual influence in the place that God has set us here in Myrtle Creek, Oregon, than all the wealth in the world. Your money can't get you anywhere, to be honest, of lasting value. You can get your name on some plaque somewhere because you donated to this or the other thing. But when you and I walk in spiritual integrity, in godly character, and carry with us spiritual influence, we can change our city. We can change our families. And so during that dark night of the soul, Jacob discovered that he'd spent his life fighting God and resisting his will, and that the only way to victory was through surrender. I mean, you know, the only way that we're ever going to be victorious in this life is when we surrender this life to Him. God, whatever you want to do with my life, you have my life. You can do with it what you want. Listen, I was really, really happy just being a log truck driver, loading logs, skidding logs, cutting trees. It didn't make any difference. I was really, really happy doing that, and I did it pretty darn good. I still have people calling me to go and do it some more, and I'm retired. But God stepped into the picture and He said, listen, I got a different job for you to do. And while He left me in that profession, He had me to open my mouth and be used in this realm as well. And so we gotta, just because God moves us around doesn't mean that He stops this to start this. Sometimes He just blends it all together. And He wants to use us wherever we're at, doing whatever it is that we're doing. A.W. Tozer said, the Lord cannot fully bless a man until He has first conquered him. I want that to just sink in for a moment. Because there's some of us that God hasn't been able to completely conquer yet, including me. I want Him to, but how many of you know we resist that? Because if we completely surrender to God, that means I'm completely vulnerable to do exactly everything that He's asked me to do. And man, that's opening myself up to a lot of whoo. Does that make any sense? See, God conquered Jacob by weakening him. More than anything else, Jacob wanted the blessings of the Lord in his life. And for this holy desire, he is to be commended. But before we can begin to be like the Lord, we've got to face ourselves and admit what we are in ourselves. I've never been to an AA meeting in my life, but I understand one of the first things that you have to do is admit what you are. And while I understand that whole process, can I just submit to you tonight as a child of God? I'm not going to declare to somebody that I'm an alcoholic because I'm not. As a man outside of the umbrella of Jesus Christ and salvation, I had a serious drinking problem. I drank a lot. My mother was an alcoholic. My father was an alcoholic. I've got sisters that were alcoholics. I was, for all intents and purposes, in that time frame of my life, an alcoholic. But I'm not an alcoholic. My Bible tells me that I have been born again. The old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a recovering alcoholic. I am saved and set free by the power of Almighty God. Why? Because somebody wouldn't shut up about God and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed until change came into my life. No, I'm not an alcoholic. I've been set free from it. Listen to this. We have to admit who we are in ourselves. Remember what the Lord asked of Jacob? He asked Jacob, what is your name? 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 As far as the Genesis record is concerned, the last time that Jacob was asked that question, he lied. Think about it. The last time that Jacob was asked, what is your name? He lied. His father said, who are you, my son? And Jacob said to the father, I'm Esau, your favorite, your firstborn. The Lord didn't ask the question in order to get the information. How many of you know he knew who he was? He certainly knew that Jacob's name was Jacob and that Jacob had the reputation of being a schemer and a deceiver. What is your name meant? Are you going to continue living up to your name and deceiving yourself and others? Or will you admit what you are and let me change you? Amen. Church, that is the question tonight that you and I have to deal with. Am I going to continue to live up to my name, my past, everything? How many of you know people have named you? How many of you know people have put a thumbprint on you? People have tagged you for your life. Once a young, always a young. Wallaces were known for Wallace Whoppers. You do whatever you know, those things are passed down. We didn't ask for it. You just get labeled with those things. Are you going to continue living up to your name, deceiving yourself and others, or will you admit what you are and let me change you? That's on you and me. We've got to make up our mind. We've got to decide today, how am I going to be? Am I going to change? Am I going to submit and surrender myself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and allow Him to come in and change my life? Many times we read through the Bible and names get changed. And in the Bible, receiving a new name signifies making a new beginning. And this was Jacob's opportunity to make a fresh start in life. Jesus himself taught his disciples to be persistent and tenacious in prayer. I'd love to be known as a man of prayer. To be known that I was tenacious and I was persistent. You know what tenacity is? Tenacity is like giving a bulldog a pork chop and then trying to take it away from him. I promise you that there is a level of tenacity in that dog that you're not getting that T-bone steak back. Because he's tenacious. Jesus taught a parable about the importance of persistence in God. And in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 10, it says this. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. 3 words that I want to leave you with tonight. I'm not going to probably get through it all, but I want you to understand that we are called to ask and to seek and to knock. And these verbs are in the continuous present tense. They are in the continuous present tense. What that means is that we are to ask and keep on asking. We are to seek and keep on seeking. It is a call, church, to perseverance. We are called to persevere in this thing we call prayer. We're not called to just offer some little verbal crescendo of our want list to God, but we are to persist. We are to press in. Jesus applied this parable by exhorting you and I to ask with persistence, knowing that the request will be given. We are to seek with persistence, knowing that we will find. And that we are to knock with persistence because we know that the door is going to be opened. Is that how we approach our prayer life? Look at it this way. Look at it this way. Don't come to God only in the midnight emergencies, but keep in constant communion with your Father. Don't just come with your midnight emergencies. Listen, if God is only there to bail you and I out of our emergencies and those kinds of situations, how many of you have ever had somebody that just come to you only when they wanted something? The only time the phone rings is when they want something. The only time they knock on the door is when they want something. How many of you know that can get wearisome? Listen, God's no different. I mean, He is. But I want for you and I to understand here tonight that we can't just continue to come to God with our want list. We need to come before God and say, listen, I don't want anything tonight except just your ear to just tell you how much I love you. Amen. To just tell you how grateful that I am for allowing me to even be in your family. For allowing us to be a part of the great commission that you've sent us all out for. And that is to reach a city for the gospel and the glory of Almighty God. Lord, I don't want anything other than to just bless you tonight. Jesus called this thing, this abiding, to just abide in His presence. And Paul said in 1 Thessalonians that we are to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. He also called us to pray in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18 with all perseverance. All perseverance, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. To be perseverance, to persist in prayer. Prayer is the energy that enables you and I as Christian soldiers to wear the armor and to wield the sword. Prayer does that for us. You and I can't fight the battle in our own power, no matter how strong, no matter how talented that we think we are. We're to pray always. Pray always. Pray always. Am I making myself clear? We are to pray always. This obviously doesn't mean that we are to always be saying prayers. We're not to be heard for our much speaking, according to Matthew 6 and verse 7. But pray without ceasing says to us, always be in communication with the Lord. Always be in communion with the Lord. Always have something on your heart, on your lips. Always be here's something. Maybe we ought to just be mindful that the Lord is with us in every area of our life. That the Lord's watching everything that we do. That He's watching everything we say. Do we act different in church than we act at home? Because He's watching us. And while we might be brand new babes in the Lord, brand new believers in the Lord, and we say, well, I messed up or I this or that. Well, God understands that. But He's all the time, He's nurturing us and He's challenging us to grow in Him. Think, here's one, think before you speak. That's a novel idea, isn't it? Yes.
One of the things that we would talk about was about thinking. One of the things that has stuck with me throughout childhood is that I remember being in church with my grandmother, and I remember people crying out to God, laying out the Spirit, at the altar, praying and praying and praying so much that not all the time, but sometimes there'd be unsaved people out there walking by, and they'd walk into the church and go to the altar and get saved.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
That's what we need to do.
Yes, we do. Always be in communion with the Lord. We used to have party lines. Anybody remember party lines? Yeah, those were a good time. Ours was 4 shorts. Yours, I think, was 2 shorts. I don't remember. Yours was a long and a short. Yeah. Isn't that crazy how you remember that stuff? Listen, praying without ceasing can really mean just keeping the receiver off the hook. Keep the receipt, keep the lines of communication open to heaven all the time. How about pray with all prayer? Pray with all prayer. We're Pentecostal believers in this church. We're filled with the Holy Ghost, most all of us. And we pray, we have a heavenly language. Do we still pray in our heavenly language? Do we still intercede before God? Pray with all prayer. There's more than just one kind of prayer. There's prayer, and there's supplication. There's intercession, and there's thanksgiving. There's all this. But the believer who prays only to ask for things is missing out on blessings that come with intercession and the giving of thanks. When you intercede for something, your intercession is probably because you haven't seen the answer to your prayer yet. And so there's just something of desperation that you realize that you just got to keep praying. There's an old lady in heaven. She's probably not an old lady anymore. She's probably been transformed, but her name is Eleanor Elder. And that old lady prayed for me. I was rough, man. I had long hair. I had Copenhagen drool on my chin most of the time. Cigarette in my hand stunk of alcohol or marijuana. And she prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And this lady interceded. And do you know that before she died, she got to understand, she got to realize that her intercession had been heard in heaven and that I had surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. And that made her a very, very happy lady. But she interceded. She prayed. When we only pray and to ask for things, we miss the blessings that come with this idea of intercession and of giving thanks. In fact, thanksgiving is a great prayer weapon for defeating the enemy itself. Praise changes things as much as prayer changes things. When you begin to praise the Lord for things that you maybe haven't even seen the answer to yet, it begins to shift things in the heavenlies. I believe it. Intercession for others can bring victory to our own lives. Intercession for others can bring victory in our own lives. You might have things that you've been praying for, and God lays a burden on your heart, and you begin to pray for another thing. You begin to pray for another people. You begin to pray for another thing, whatever it might be. And all of a sudden, God says, man, this person is serious about their prayer. And not only am I going to answer that prayer, but I'm going to answer this one that they've been praying about for so long. When we begin to pray for other people, it can bring victory in our own life. I'm stopping right there. We're going to talk about praying in the Spirit. We're going to be, listen, prayer is so multifaceted. We can talk, and we will talk for the next number of weeks, because I believe that prayer changes things. In fact, the 31st is a Sunday, right? And we're going to pray in the new year. We're not going to. I'm to the place where I don't necessarily stay up until New Year's. That doesn't make that big of a deal to me anymore. But we used to stay at the church and pray in the new year, all two of us. Amen. But we're going to pray in the new year on that day, and we're going to have church, and we're going to have some things. I'm going to try and put down on paper some things that I believe the Lord's going to do or wants to do in 2024. And we're going to bathe those things in prayer on the 31st. And we're just going to release those things to God. And we're going to believe for some great things. I believe that we're going to break ground out there in 2024 and have a building erected out there by this time next year. I believe for that. I believe by faith. I haven't seen it yet. We don't have drawings in our hand yet. I just feel in my spirit the time's getting short. And I mean, we was full this morning. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but Mike added a whole nother row of chairs in this place. And do you realize this place was full of people this morning? And so, God, I believe as we continue to make room, the church is going to continue to fill in those gaps. We have designs and we have desires and dreams and ways that we're going to try and rearrange some things in here to put out more chairs to get more people in, because the people will only come to like 80%, because people don't like sitting by one another all that much. And so we just got to keep doing things to keep making more and more room. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And then one night, I can't go to sleep. I'm telling you, it's almost like I had took something, and I cannot go to sleep. And I walked up and down when we lived out Willow Creek, and I walked up and down the hallway just praying and praying. And I knew God gave me a specific person I was praying for. And I got up at 6 o'clock in the morning and went to that person home, didn't get no answer, went to the sister of the person and went there, and she had just got off the phone from the guy that I was praying for. He was driving a truck, and he was driving out going towards the end out that way, and we had lost, hit a black guy, a cheetah eye, and just missed a school bus full of children by a hair. And somehow, he said he closed his eyes and he just said, Jesus. And he said, next thing he knew, he was on the side of the road, the bus was fine, nobody got hurt. And, but see, if I hadn't have been permissive to pray and listen to the Lord and pray, who knows what happened yet? He could have put that on somebody else to do, but we don't know. But I'm just saying,
yeah, when the Lord lays somebody on our heart, we need to be praying. We need to take that seriously and pray and seek the Lord. You never know. You just don't ever know. Amen? Well, listen, I'm out of time. What's today? Sunday? So Tuesday night, grief share. Wednesday night, discipleship. Thursday morning, the ladies will get together. Friday night, men's group will be right here. So let's just pray. Let's begin to put into practice what we're talking about. Amen. I want to thank each one of you for your prayers. I know that several of you have been praying for me and for my health, and I appreciate that. As you can hear, I'm still not 100%. but we're gaining ground. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I do pray tonight, God, that you would be with each one. Lord, I know Ken Skeen's having issues with his leg, and I pray, God, that you would bring healing to his leg. God, completely restore that thing. Lord, heal it. Take all the infection, any pain away, Father. And I thank you, Lord. I pray for Kevin tonight, God, that was here this morning. God, that you would heal him, that you would open doors, God, for him to go through, that he'd get relief and get some surgery and some healing and some housing, oh God, for himself. And Lord, I thank you for all of that. Lord, we lift Bob and Janice to you tonight. I pray, God, that you would bring healing and completely restore Janice's heart, Lord. I know that the diagnosis is congenital heart failure, but Lord, we just speak to that and say, God, you restore that heart, oh God. You create a clean and new heart within us, Lord. And so we just thank you for that, God. Lord, I just pray for Mickey, that you would touch her and raise her up. I pray for Mark Abel tonight, God, that you would touch and restore him. Lord, for Anthony, Lord, he needs your touch, God, in his body. And Lord, for any others. Yes, sir.
Can we pray for my grandson's mother, Jennifer, just had a heart attack. They've got her on life support, and they're not sure they can restore her, but I know God can.
Father God, we lift Jennifer to you right now, God. Lord, we ask you tonight, Lord, God, to repair and restore this heart, Lord God. God, we ask, Lord, that you would just set her free. God, that you would bring healing into her body, into her heart. God, everything that needs to be repaired, repair it, Father God. Then you be glorified for all of it, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, in Jesus' name, we stand with Gene and his family. God, we ask you to move on behalf of her right now. And God, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, God bless you. God go with you. If you want to come and spend some time at these altars, they're certainly open. You can come and pray. Otherwise, if you got to go, God bless you. God go with you. Have a good rest of your week. We'll see you back here Wednesday if we don't see